This is a global prepaid call from
James E. Wu, FBI.
Westview Correctional Facility.
For Marvel Muse and Muse Live, it's WandaVision, one story told week by week. I'm Thomas Hunt, your host. Last we left off, Wanda was in a very vulnerable place, and I just want to first say, on the whole, WandaVision is a great show. We've gone through weeks, and it feels like an accomplishment. Usually when you have a Marvel experience, you go into a theater, you get your snacks, you go with your friends, and you enjoy a film, and it's over in about 2 hours. But in this experience, it took us weeks to get to this conclusion, to this momentous finale that we've all been waiting for, that would all answer all of our questions and answer all the loose threads that they left hanging, and really complete the arc and leave us with the same feeling that we got after finishing a good Marvel movie. Just any Marvel movie, like even Thor: The Dark World, it had a satisfying ending. And I'm going to get into where WandaVision went wrong today. As you've noticed, it's been some time since the WandaVision finale dropped, and I've been deciding whether or not I should even make this podcast. Whether or not I should make this podcast episode, I should say. I'm going to be continuing with this podcast, but WandaVision was such a letdown for me that I had to stop and reevaluate a lot of things about Marvel. After Endgame came out, I was very worried about the direction that Marvel was heading in, and what they were doing with their characters, and what they were planning to do. And then Spider-Man Far From Home came out, and I was reassured. I was like, okay, everything's gonna be great. You know, we're missing a lot of our key characters, but they're doing this in a great way. They're honoring Iron Man's legacy, and the upcoming Falcon and Winter Soldier show. They're gonna hopefully do Captain America justice, and honor his legacy. And WandaVision is the reason that I'm worried again. I was excited, more than excited, for these Disney Plus shows because I was hoping they'd be like an extra long Marvel movie. It's almost like it's the length of a trilogy, so we could get all this Marvel content in just this one platform every week, and it was going to be amazing. And it was, and I was, WandaVision was so exciting. It was this mystery that we didn't know what was happening and what was going on, and we were trying to figure it out week by week, trying to figure out the story and trying to figure out what was going on in Westview. And then the finale just, I don't even know how to explain it. It finished the series in the most disappointing way possible. They left dozens of loose ends open. They I mean, there were exciting things that we were all excited for, like the return of Quicksilver, which Marvel knows that there's a large group of fans, including me, who have been wanting Quicksilver back for the longest time, and we were so excited and so hyped when he finally got him back. Just to be let down with a. We're gonna get into that later this episode when we go into the recap. But this entire series they've been building up and doing. They've been building up to this grand finale and doing a great job on character development. And it all seems to have gone to waste. I'm not sure what happened with the finale. I know there were reshoots. I know they had to re-edit it. It's just not a good episode of anything. Not a good episode of television, not a good episode of Marvel. It's not something I would recommend. The CGI is beautiful, but the story, the CGI can't be everything. The CGI can't carry it. And I guess part of the reason why I'm so disappointed is because of all the hype that we were getting coming into the series. We had been missing Marvel for a long time. We'd all been locked down in our homes. We weren't able to leave. And we were finally getting Marvel content again, and we got all these promises that the finale used more CGI than Endgame. And I mean, none of us could imagine that. What that would even mean, because Endgame was such a colossal battle and used so much CGI, bigger than Endgame. They're making big promises coming out of the gate. And so we were super excited. We were going to see, multiverse stuff, because they were talking, they announced Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. I don't like Doctor Strange. I probably wouldn't have seen Doctor Strange 2 for some time. If we hadn't, if it hadn't been connected to the multiverse and the overarching story. I've only seen Doctor Strange once. I'm not a huge fan of Doctor Strange, but that's not the point here. The point is we were getting excited for all this upcoming Marvel content, and they were promising us big things, and really hyping up WandaVision. And I think even the director, the night before WandaVision finale came out, I think he realized what they had done. Because he knew what the finale was, and he knew it was going to disappoint a lot of people. And I think the feeling that we took away from the end of the episode was, that's it? When I was watching it, I was checking the time over and over and over again, looking at it, waiting to see. Just waiting, hoping that there was enough time for to give us something of some semblance. All they did was give us the most predictable ending ever, the most cliche thing imaginable. Yeah, the Wanda fought Agatha, stopped her, closed the Westview Anomaly. I mean, we all knew that was gonna happen, but they didn't give us anything else. It was just very disappointing. For those of you who don't have Disney Plus, I'm going to go into the recap because you need to know what happened and why this episode was so disappointing, because everyone's talking about how it's disappointing, but I'm really going to go into why. First off, WandaVision wasn't originally slated to be the first new Marvel content coming out. And this is where a lot of people are taking the blame off of the directors and the people who made WandaVision and saying it was there was too much focus on it because, it wasn't supposed to be that way and it was really just going to be kind of this little side project. Regardless of how much scrutiny was going to be on the project, and I will give you that there was more scrutiny than there would have been. I will give you that. I will. But just from a storytelling perspective, just from good writing, I myself, I am a writer. I don't write screenplays for Marvel but, and this isn't me trying to brag, I think I could have written a better ending for WandaVision. I think almost any of you could have written a better ending for WandaVision that didn't, that tied down or gave us some sort of satisfying ending to the situation without it being just like, well, I mean, duh, of course that was going to happen, you know? It was everything that we already knew was going to happen, but everything that we hoped for, everything that we wanted to see, didn't happen. And I'm not talking about Mephisto, or Chthon, as I brought up in my last video, or Nightmare, or any of these things. I'm not talking about that. Let's just get into the recap, and we can get back to this afterwards. So we start off right where we left off. Agatha has Wanda's kids, and she's got them by the neck, which, I'm just gonna throw this out there, they could just kind of run backwards, or head backwards, or, I mean, Billy can fly. It seemed weird. I'm just gonna assume there was some enchantment stopping them from using common sense, and just chalk it up to that. So, yeah, I'm gonna let you off the hook on that one. But yeah, so they're hanging there, and Wanda's just kind of standing there. She and Agatha have this discussion. Agatha tells her she's the Scarlet Witch from Prophecy and some, just basically telling her she's the Scarlet Witch. And then White Vision shows up. He enters the anomaly. Wanda ends up blasting Agatha. Vision flies down into there. Wanda freaks out. Goes over to him. They have this weird, like, I guess it's a tender moment, but it doesn't make sense why there would be a tender moment, because White Vision has been instructed to eliminate Wanda Maximoff, so it makes no sense why he would, like, caress her face like he does. Because obviously, if you haven't been able to see it, he, like, caresses her face with both of his hands. It's really weird, and then he, like, tries to crush her head. Instead of, like, you know, just, like, zapping her with the laser or, like, killing her and facing through her, and there are millions of ways he could have killed her while her guard was down, but he chose not to do that because the directors felt like it, and instead they had him caress her face. It's weird. So Vision comes flying over, and he confronts White Vision and pulls him off Wanda. Two of them end up fighting. Vision throws White Vision into a vehicle. It explodes, and then White Vision is down for, like, a long time for seemingly no reason. He could have just gotten back up. I guess the story required that he stay down there, like, taking a nap for some, just staying there for enough time for them to talk. Really, there's so many plot holes in this. It's, I don't want to pick this apart, but it's just so hard not to, because it's so bad. So he just stays there. So Vision and Wanda talk for a second. They go over to the house where Agatha got blasted into. Her boots are laying there, Wizard of Oz style, you know, and under the house where they squish the witch. Ding dong, the witch is dead, the witch is dead, the witch is dead. You know, all that. But no, the witch is not dead. She's just flying around and left her boots there for some reason. It's not really explained why that happened. I mean, it was a cool moment, because it was like, you know, call back to Wizard of Oz, but, like, why? Why did she, like, leave her boots there and just fly off? It doesn't really make sense why Agatha would do that. Like, what caused that? Did she get crushed by the house and then, like, respawn in the air but without her boots? I mean, we all know Agatha can't respawn, so it doesn't make sense. But for whatever reason, she leaves her boots there and just flies off. So we get the little nod to the Wizard of Oz. Then White Vision comes out of the explosion, you know, explosion behind him, cliche, but it looked cool, so I'm gonna do that. And so he and Vision fly off and start fighting. They tell the kids to go inside, and yes, that's me cracking my knuckles, by the way. Don't freak out, that's just me cracking my knuckles. I know I probably shouldn't do that, but it's a habit I have. Anyway, so they head back there. Wanda and Agatha start fighting, you know, people with the same powers fighting each other, you know, so laser blasts, throwing laser blasts at each other. Then there's Monica, and her situation. Monica in this episode, she needs to get out of the house. That's all she does. So she's in there with fake Quicksilver, which we're not really sure what's going on with him. Right now we're thinking it's the MCU Quicksilver, or at least I'm thinking, and it's not just me, though. A lot of people were thinking the same thing, that it's MCU Quicksilver in a body of Evan Peters, or maybe the body of an Evan Peters Quicksilver, maybe not the one from the Fox X-Men, but just a Quicksilver from the multiverse, played by Evan Peters, but not the one from the Fox universe, a different Quicksilver, not from the Fox universe, played by Evan Peters. That's really confusing, much like most of this show. So we figured it was some sort of convoluted thing where it's the MCU, Aaron Taylor Johnson Quicksilver, inside some guy played by Evan Peters. Whether or not it was Quicksilver from another universe, multiverse, universe, multiverse, that works. Or just some random guy in the town played by Evan Peters for literally no reason, possessed by Aaron Taylor Johnson's MCU, the MCU Quicksilver spirit. So we're in there, and Monica is sitting there, and in last episode, Agatha called him Pietro, you know, fake Pietro. So I'm just gonna call him Pietro for this, for simplicity, because there are so many things we could call this guy. He is really, really complicated, man of a thousand names. So Pietro is running around there and stopping Monica from leaving, because every time she tries to leave, he uses his super speed and pushes her back. So there's one thing that I actually didn't notice, and I feel really stupid for not noticing this, but even when he's wearing his Quicksilver like costume, he's wearing a necklace. Like this bead surfer necklace that I actually have a bead necklace that's kind of similar to this. It's not the point. Anyway, he's wearing this necklace, a totem, much like Agatha and her brooch. So I didn't really think much of it at the time. I didn't really think much of it, and that was stupid of me. Monica uses her, like, energy-seeking powers, pinpoints the necklace, pulls it off, and Pietro loses his super speed. So we know now that he is not the Fox X-Men or any... he's not the Fox X-Men Quicksilver or really any Quicksilver. He's just a guy. Whether or not he's possessed by Aaron Taylor, by the MCU Quicksilver, we don't know. But it quickly becomes apparent that he isn't. And this guy is just the setup for the world's longest boner joke. As some of you may have missed, Monica, I don't know how you would miss this, but some of my friends missed it, apparently. She's looking at the deed in the papers, and his name, trying to figure out who this guy is, and his name is Ralph Boner, Bohner. Yeah, so she says, I mean, she goes, like any reasonable person, your name is Ralph Boner, and he, Boner, that's literally his line, and then that's it, that's all that hiring Evan Peters was. They hired him for essentially no reason. It makes no sense. I don't. What? Like, there's really no words. I don't understand how this is. Who okayed this? Who thought this was a good idea? I mean, there's no way that they couldn't have known that this would be a big deal to people, because how could it not be a big deal? You're calling in the guy who is most well-known role to most people in this generation as the Fox X-Men Quicksilver, one of his most memorable roles. You get him to play this Quicksilver character for no reason. This character of super speed that we all thought was Fox X-Men Quicksilver or something like that, for literally no reason, just a build-up to a boner joke. This is when I started to see that the episode was not going to be what I thought it was. I was still holding out hope that we would get some multiverse stuff, at least, or something of some semblance that was... I'm saying this a lot, but this was just so disappointing. We got the resolution to this in the least interesting way possible. I'm sorry. The only reason I'm doing this is because I want to start the first episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier is out. And I want to do an after show for that, but I feel like I have to finish this for you guys at least, for no other reason. I don't want to do this, but I want to finish this series. I need to finish this series. I just need to finish the WandaVision after show series. And I'm honestly really disappointed in Marvel. Alright, I'm gonna continue the recap. I'm sorry for butting in there, because like halfway through the recap. I'm gonna try and keep it in, just go through the recap, make it nice and thorough. So, we cut to Vision and Vision, White Vision and Purple Vision, and they're in the library, where they, where Vision got drunk on gum, and, they're soaring above the books, and they start talking about the ship of Theseus. For those of you who don't know, basically the ship of Theseus is like this philosophical conundrum, or riddle, I suppose, in which there's a boat called, which belonged to Theseus, which is why it's called the ship of Theseus, and it was broken in battle. So they replaced the ship entirely with new planks, and over time they would keep replacing parts until it's entirely made out of new parts. The question that Vision raises is that still the ship of Theseus, or are the broken pieces, the rotting pieces, the ship of Theseus? And White Vision comes to the conclusion that neither are the true ship. Because what White Vision has been tasked to do is destroy Wanda Maximoff and destroy Vision. So he decides now not to destroy Vision, which, and I mean, this is a well thought out piece. I enjoyed this piece. It was cool. But so he realizes that, you know, he's not Vision. Neither of them are Vision in his mind. And he regains his memories of Wanda and everything that happened to him from Purple Vision. I guess we're going to say from Regular Vision. So he gets all his memories back, and he just kind of flies off, completely ignoring his directive. Ship of Theseus is great and all, but what about Wanda? He was sent, his directive was to kill Wanda Maximoff. Why did he just, you know, ignore that directive? I mean, I know he got his memories back, but he hasn't been, like, completely recoded. He's still under the control of Hayward and Sword. So there's literally no reason that he would fly away. It is in his coding that he has to do this. Whether or not he feels bad about it, now that he knows that he dated Wanda or whatever, whatever was going on there for some time. Whether or not he feels bad about it, he still has to do it because that's in his coding. He is programmed to do that. That's what he has to do. But no, for plot, they don't need him anymore in this episode, so he flies off into the sky. Again, plot hole that they created and didn't tie up any of the other plot holes they left out. I could go on, but I'm just going to finish the recap. Finish the recap, Thomas. Just finish the recap. Okay. So, this episode. We cut to Wanda and Agatha, and they're flying around, and we learned that Agatha, and by the way, I forgot to mention this in the beginning, but Agatha can, like, suck Wanda's magic out of her and make her, like, shrivel up. So her hand, Wanda's hand is already shriveled up from earlier. And Wanda's basically, like, throwing, she's learning to throw objects at her instead of throwing her magic directly. Because that way she can't suck the magic out of her. So, anyway, she and Agatha talk about, like, being a witch, and, they fight, they throw red energy at each other, and Agatha confronts her with some purple energy. Eventually, Wanda comes up, learns how to use her powers, and, just pops up behind Agatha, you know, works some, that red magic stuff, goes into her head, akin to what she did in Age of Ultron to the Avengers. And so she goes in there, and she's in the same, like, hollow where Agatha ended up killing the witches in her coven. So they're in there, and it's just weird. Wanda's, what that area is supposed to do is it's supposed to be the nightmare of, it's supposed to be like a nightmare realm, and it kind of renders that person incapacitated. Again, it's a witch doing it to another witch, so I don't know if it's different somehow, but, it was just weird. It was just really weird. But basically, instead of locking, or tying Agatha up, they end up tying Scarlet Witch up, because they see her as, like, they see Wanda as the Scarlet Witch, and so they tie her up. It makes no sense. It really doesn't make sense. They just call her the Scarlet Witch, and that's basically a confirmation to Wanda that she is the Scarlet Witch. That's all that really existed for. So anyway, they get pulled out of that memory. And then they're in the real world, and Agatha decides to bombard, not even the real world, they're still in Westview. So they're out of the, holy cow, they're out of the illusion inside the mind of the witch that's inside the other illusion that's outside of the Marvel universe that we are watching on our screens, because that's a fictional world. It's convoluted, it's complicated, but basically they leave that reality back into Westview. So it's nothing like we were looking for, but they do technically change settings or change the place that they were fighting in. But it's a place that we already visited before. It's not nothing multiverse, it's just a memory that they go into, which is disappointing, to say the least. Finish the recap, Thomas. Finish the recap. Okay, so basically Agatha turns the, frees the people of Westview, the inhabitants of Westview, from Wanda's, like, freaky mind control. And, they basically tell Wanda that what she was doing is that she was putting her grief on them and making them feel her grief, instead of what she thought she was doing was actually helping them and making them happy and helping them live their better lives. Because when she first came to Westview, she saw them and they were tired and upset and unsuccessful, and she was helping them live their idealistic lives, or so she thought, but she was really forcing them and puppeteering them and using her own grief and forcing it onto them. Dottie, the woman who plays Dottie, begs to be able to see her daughter again and have her daughter wake up and come out of her bed. It's freaky. It's some weird, weird stuff. But yeah, so that happens, and Wanda starts to have a breakdown. They're asking, they ask her to just, to either, like, let them go or kill them. So in response, Wanda, for some reason, lashes out with, like, lassos and starts choking the people. And then she's sorry about it and stops choking the people. And then she decides to take down Westview, and which she does. So she takes down, she starts to take down the Westview anomaly, and outside, Hayward and his forces are able to come in, so they just decide to, you know, drive right in with their military vehicles, because now it's wide open, and the people of Westview run away, but now there's a wide path for Hayward to come in, so Hayward comes in, and, he parks, he's got his military men, they're all surrounding Wanda, Agatha just kind of poofs away for a little bit. And so they're surrounding, the kids. Hayward takes aim at the, Billy and Tommy, who have showed up to help their parents fight. Vision comes down and stays down there with them, because he's finished, you know, talking, having a chat with White Vision. Monica comes down there because she off-screen escapes from the house and, you know, just leaves Ralph Boner to stand there, I guess, or just kind of lay there, do his thing, whatever it was he was doing. Or maybe she, like, tied him up. I have no idea. They didn't tell us. They didn't explain to us. She just somehow got from the house, and she's now walking around back into the center of the square where all the fighting is going on. So then, in an epic, amazing shot, Hayward shoots a couple bullets at some kids. You know, Billy and Tommy. You know, child slaughter. Forget manslaughter. Child slaughter is the new. It's a new popular thing these days with, you know, the evil, corrupt, you know, military guys. Or excuse me, not military. My apologies to the military. Like spy agency people. I don't even, what is Hayward's the head of SWORD, but I mean technically that qualifies as like espionage. Anyway, he tries to shoot Billy and Tommy. Billy stops a few of the bullets with his, you know, his Wiccan stuff, and Monica jumps in front of the rest of the bullets and it passes through her harmlessly and drops to the ground. I don't know when she got this power. I don't know how she got this power. I'm going to assume that they are just calling this off to her being able to, like, control energy. They didn't really explain her powers. They're explaining the comics, but they didn't explain her powers here. So we're just kind of supposed to expect that, basically from this we're supposed to get that she can, like, suck in energy and, I don't know, take bullet shots, and then her eyes glow green when she sees energy. Her eyes glow different colors when she sees energy, and she also has the power to see the world in like an energy form. It's convoluted. They don't explain her powers. Hopefully they will in upcoming things, because we know she's going to be coming up in Captain Marvel 2 and other stuff. I hope it's going to be better. I hope the movies will be better. I hope Falcon and Winter Soldier will be better and not follow in the footsteps of WandaVision. But yeah. So she blocks a few bullets. They drop to the ground. Hayward gets hit. Hayward gets into a car and flees once Billy and Tommy incapacitate all the other military men and Jimmy Woo's FBI arrive. Because I forgot to mention, Jimmy Woo grabs a phone off the table with his handcuffs. Nobody notices. Jimmy Woo is probably my favorite thing to come out of WandaVision, or, I mean, he didn't really come out of it, but he's my favorite thing in WandaVision, probably. But this is just hard to believe. He there's a phone sitting on the table. I think it's Hayward's phone. And he just comes over, sits down on the table, grabs the phone with his handcuffed hands behind him, and just puts it in his pocket? I guess There are armed guards standing all around him, looking directly at him as he does this. But for whatever reason, they let him do this, or they're just blind as a bat and they don't see him do it. It might as well happen. So then he gets escorted off by some guards. He knocks them out and sits behind some hay and calls in the FBI to help him once he picks the handcuffs and gets him off. Good for you. Way to go, Jimmy. But, let's just move on. So now it's the final battle between Agatha and Wanda down below. Hayward gets into his car. He gets hit by Darcy finally showing up in that like ice cream van thing. So that shows up in there. Basically what Agatha does is she starts sucking the energy out of Wanda above, and down below, Vision, the guy who can fly and shoot laser beams and help and you know, could help Wanda, just kind of stands there with the two kids, and Monica, the super powerful energy being, also just stands there, and then the two superpowered kids, one of whom can fly and use magic energy, and the other one who can use super speed, they all stand there in the middle of the street, watching their mom get beaten to death by a witch, and just standing there because the plot called for it. The plot didn't really call for that. I mean, they could have gone up there and helped her. I mean, Tommy was the only one who couldn't fly, and Monica, I don't know if they haven't really showed Monica flying yet. She could in the comics. I might be wrong about that. I think she could fly in the comics, but yeah, I'm pretty sure she could. They haven't shown her flying in the series, so I'm just going to assume that she could probably fly, or at the very least jump really high. Because I'm sure she's got a bunch of energy absorbed from those bullets that Hayward shot at her. Or shot at the kids that she blocked. And also, like, Hayward becomes kind of cartoonishly evil in this, I'm not going to lie. Hayward was just kind of like, you know, a jerk and a horrible person. And definitely like a corrupt government official, but there's a line to cross when it comes to, like, you know, murdering children at gunpoint. It's a bit of a jump. But anyway, so yeah, so they're all standing there as Agatha sucks the red magical energy out of Wanda, and Westview just starts to disintegrate around her. It happens. So then Wanda like starts to fall. She gets all shriveled and everything, and then Agatha tries to use her magic, and then realizes that she can't use her magic, and she looks around and sees that Wanda has thrown runes all over the Westview walls, and Wanda gets back up, and now she's completely fine. She's still floating in the air. She's completely fine. Somehow Agatha is still floating in the air, despite not being able to use her, you know, magical powers. And basically she explains that she gives her the same speech that Agatha gave her back in the first episode when Agatha cast her runes in that little like underground space outside of the anomaly. So she gets Agatha down to the ground, and then she tells her that basically she's going to live her life as the character that she chose for herself, the nosy neighbor, Agnes, and then she, like, decides, and then she puts her into that thing where she's, like, cheerfully happy and can't stop being happy, and it's just, like, that forced fake smile thing, Agnes, and is also mentally torturing her at the same time, because that means she's still, like, subjecting her to her grief and her pain and bombarding her and slowly driving her insane. So that sounds like a good idea for, you know, a supervillain who might break out again, who I'm sure will break out again because they left her wide open. And so Wanda decides, and she sees that it's hurting people, so she decides to close the Westview Anomaly, as she should. So, you know, she goes and she tucks her boys into bed and tells them, "Thank you for choosing me to be your mother," and they tell her, well, actually, no, you created us out of your imagination, so we didn't choose anything. We actually had no free will in the situation. And we don't really even exist. And so she says goodnight. I'm kidding, they don't actually say that. They just kind of, like, nod. And they're like, alright, well, I guess we're gonna die now, because, you know, that's a reasonable reaction for, like, 10-year-old kids to have. You know, yeah, you know, we're gonna die, and, you know, we just fought, we just watched you, like, fight a giant, like, superhero battle, but no, we're gonna settle right into our beds and, you know, lay here to this soft music playing in the background. And then, so she and Vision say goodbye to their children, because she's a responsible mother. And they head downstairs, and basically she says goodbye to Vision over and over, and Vision says, I will come back in some way, probably, because math, like 12 times. And then she decides to close the Westview Anomaly completely instead of stopping it around her house, thus saving Vision, the children, and everything, and it wouldn't be hurting anyone, it would just be her little pocket, you know, reality around the house, and she would get Vision, she'd get the kids, they'd all be happy together, they can live their ideals, they could live their idealized life without hurting anyone, but no, so she just closes it, she kills, so anyway, her kids die, Vision dies, they turn into this, like, weird flaky stuff, they flake away, but not different, it's like orange this time, so they flake away. It looks like technical, because, you know, like the TV inspired pixels, they pixelate away, I suppose. And so Wanda's left there in a house that is now completely destroyed, or not destroyed, it's just empty, it's a barren lot, because she built the house herself using the magic. But now that she took it down, there is no more house there. So she's staying in an empty lot, and she leaves Westview, and she's walking out through the town. Everyone's giving her dirty looks because she mentally tortured them for, you know, weeks on end, and trapped them inside, you know, her own grief, and, kept her, and took them, and took their children away from them. And then she meets up with Monica, and Monica tells her and tries to reassure her and says, they'll never understand what you gave up for them. I'm sorry, what? you know, I was a fan of Wanda, and I was thinking she was a good guy during this, but I gotta point this out to you. She mentally tortured them for weeks on end. She gave up, like, her little imaginary husband and sons that she didn't need to give up but decided to anyway, and she did all this, and then she didn't give up anything, she didn't lose anything, she didn't need to lose anything. She mentally tortured those people. So that line's just, it's another line from this episode, which is horrendous. Anyway, so Monica is told that someone wants to meet her. So she goes down to the military personnel. The military person turns into a Skrull. Surprise, surprise. Whoop-de-doo. We are so hyped. That was such a great episode. I am so, you know, I'm this is just amazing. I'm so excited for future Marvel content. Wait, no, I'm not. This was a crazy amount of letdown. If you think that's going to cheer us up, I don't know what to tell you, man. Yeah, woo, a Skrull. Wow, that's great. That's really great. Anyway, so we see, so we see Wanda fly out of Westview, you know, she's looking down there. Oh, hey, look, that's all the people I tortured, you know, all those good memories. So she flies out of there, she puts on, like, you know, her witchy headdress and all that stuff, and she flies off. We get credits, all that good stuff. We look in the credits, and it's her, she's walking into a cabin like Thanos, literally like Thanos. She's got a cabin in the woods, she's cooking, and then it does this weird, like, panning shot that looked kind of cool. Not gonna lie. And then she's in there, and she is, she's, like, manifesting another version of herself, She's not astrally projecting herself, because we've seen that with Doctor Strange, and that's like kind of like a light, like a ghost-like almost thing. You can see the outline. You clearly can't see the outline. It's just two of them. So I don't know what's going on here. They don't explain it, but it's her, and she's flipping through the book and like hovering in the air, legs crisscrossed like Doctor Strange. And they cut it off. So I am so hyped from that. That was like really exciting. You know, it was, they answered the questions. They didn't make any plot holes. They answered all their old plot holes. You know, they really made sure to give us a good and thorough and deserved finale there. And I was completely satisfied by this episode. That was a complete, total, and utter lie. I don't know if you can tell, I was not a fan. Not a fan of that. I did not like it. I did not like this episode at all. And yes, for those of you who dislike Thor: The Dark World, I think it's worse, man. I mean, you can dislike Thor: The Dark World all you want. It's worse. It is so much worse. Thor: The Dark World had I'm not going to talk about Thor: The Dark World, but it was definitely better than this. It had its moments. WandaVision had its moments. I think most of the things in WandaVision were good, except the finale. The finale was the worst thing Marvel has ever done, and I hope I don't have to take that back. I really hope I don't have to. I really don't want them to have to make something worse. I'm really excited for Falcon and Winter Soldier. I really hope they're not going to make it like some crazy racial stuff and just create racism in a universe where there doesn't need to be racism. Because you have your own idealized like universe here. You have your own universe. Why are you creating racism in it when you don't need to? I really hope they're not going to do that. It would be stupid. I would be so disappointed. If there's racism in the world that we live in, that's horrible, and you shouldn't put that horrible thing into your little universe that you have created. Why would you do that? I don't understand why you would do that. Like, to make people like understand that's a problem? Obviously it's a problem. If you don't get that, I don't know what's wrong with you. Obviously racism is not good. But I don't know why we have to put that, why we have to bring racism into a show. I've heard reports that that's what it's going to be. I really hope that that's what it, that it's not that. John Walker's going to be in it, and I am super excited for that. Don't hate me here, but I actually really, really like John Walker. Not more than Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers is my favorite and always will be. But John Walker's an interesting character, and he's an interesting character. I like him. I hope they do something interesting with him in the show, and like maybe better his character. Don't make him. The problem with the comic that this is, that Falcon and the Winter Soldier is supposedly based off of, is it's based off of this comic where Captain America turns out to be like a Nazi all along. And he's trying to help the Fourth Reich, like, regain control over the world, and, the government is just completely racist, and, like, everyone's racist, and it's just not good, and, the backlash to that was immense, as it should be, because I don't know why they still have that guy around. He hasn't been fired. That guy hasn't been fired somehow. Don't tell me how that works. Yeah, so that's supposedly what it's based off of. I hope it's going to be good. Please let it be better than WandaVision. WandaVision had its moments. Overall, I think it was good. The finale was not. I've said this a bunch of times, but please let the other shows be better. Don't let them fall into the same cliches and the same plot holes and the same predictable narratives that WandaVision fell into. And please, please don't make them all about race and racism and just that kind of stuff. We don't need that. We don't need that and we don't want it. And it's not necessary. The other thing I'm worried about in Falcon and the Soldier is the group called the Flag Smashers that they briefly mention. It seems like these people are based off the character Flag Smasher from the comics. And they seem like communist terrorists. So I'm excited for Bucky and Falcon to fight those guys because I want to see those guys get their butts handed to them. Because, sorry if you're in, like, I don't know, Russia or China or something. I am not a fan of communism. I'm going to tell you that right straight up. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a fan of that. And I'm not a fan of terrorists in general. So I will be happy to see them get their butts handed to them. But I did hear some people online are like siding with the terrorists. They're supposedly terrorists. It seems like they're terrorists. They're like blowing up stuff, and it seems to be for political reasons. But I haven't seen the episode yet, so I'll have to watch it and find out. But yeah, I really hope they don't. I really hope they don't like make this all about race, and I hope they just like give us a good. The best Marvel movie, in my opinion, is Captain America: Winter Soldier. I love that movie so much. It is so good. It deals with politics, but like not enough. It's just not throwing it in your face. It deals with subtle themes of it. And at the same time, it's everything that a Captain America movie should be. And you get espionage, and you get the Winter Soldier, and you get amazing scores, and amazing... It's just amazing overall. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna watch Falcon and Winter Soldier now, and I'm gonna see what it thinks, and then afterwards I'm gonna record an after show. So thank you all of you for tuning in and listening to me talk about WandaVision and go over WandaVision and break it down with you guys. It's been an amazing journey. I'm sorry it had this ending. It didn't deserve this ending, but it was a great series overall. So thank you for going on this journey with me, and I will see you in the next one.